Sometimes hilarious, always hilarious. It's Keeping Up with Ken Hellenius on Mater Dei Radio.
And he is our man, South Bend, Indiana, University of Notre Dame, and the host of Living Stones, heard right here on Mater Dei Radio on Monday evening, 7:30, or anytime on your Hail Mary Media app. Mr. Ken Hellenius, how are you today, sir?
I am really well, thank you, David. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Aaron and I were just lamenting the fact that it's been such a wet springtime out here in the great Pacific Northwest, and so just curious, what has the springtime in South Bend, Indiana been like?
It's been really warm, and as a matter of fact, we had some really hot days leading up to today. It's going to be 79, so we're actually fully into summer now.
Yeah.
We had a super short spring, though, but it was filled with some hot days, and now we're cruising. The students have been gone for a few weeks, and campus is relatively quiet, but summer's here.
Yeah. So do you get a lot of humidity in South Bend?
We do, certainly deeper into the summer. It's been a bit muggy, but not quite swampy. And those are terms you learn when you move to the Midwest. There's muggy, there's humid, and then there's swampy.
Swampy.
And that just is awful. Not like.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. It's kind of swampy. No. Yeah, you can get the, yeah. You can just feel that, the stickiness when you say that. So, but you're a big griller. We were talking about grilling. You like to get out and grill.
I do. As a matter of fact, this week, Memorial Day, we did 3 racks of ribs,
nice.
Baby back ribs. And there it was my beloved bride, Julie, and me and our friend, Father Stephen, a Holy Cross priest and professor of history here on campus. We didn't even finish 1 rack of ribs among the 3 of us. So it's been all week. Leftover ribs all week long.
you can
do far worse.
Yeah, I was going to say nothing wrong with that. I love some good ribs on my cornflakes in the morning. It's tasty.
It's a lot better than orange juice on your cereal.
There you go. That's right. Well, hey, Sunday, big day in the church. It's Pentecost Sunday, and that wraps up the Easter season, correct?
Right, yeah. So Pentecost really represents 50 days since Easter. So if you think about that, that's 7 weeks of 7 days. 7 is the biblical number of perfection. So we're at 49 days plus 1, you know, because mm-hmm. Sunday is always the first day of the new week. And so this the story is told in the second chapter of the book of Acts about how the apostles were gathered with Mary together in the upper room, the very same room where Jesus had celebrated with them the Last Supper before his death and resurrection. So they're gathered in the room praying as they had been instructed to do by the angels and by Christ and the angels at the ascension 9 days before. They're there. A strong driving wind fills the room. Tongues of fire descend and rest upon their heads. And each of the apostles has been given the ability to speak in different languages and to preach. And so that's kind of the basic framework of Pentecost. But what it represents is, of course, the great gift of the Holy Spirit, as Christ promised, when I am gone, I will send to you another helper, an advocate. And he sends the Holy Spirit from the Father to empower the apostles to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, meaning in all languages.
Right.
And so we read, as we read on, you know, there this noise gathers a bunch of people who are already in Jerusalem, because this is also a feast that is observed by the Jewish people, a parallel Jewish holiday called Shavuot, mm-hmm. which falls 50 days after Passover. And Shavuot represents and commemorates the gift of the Torah to Moses and the people at Mount Sinai. And so at Shavuot, they remembered the sealing of the covenant with God by Moses sprinkling the people with blood. Now, of course, blood is red. Mm-hmm. So are the tongues of fire that descend upon the apostles. So it represents for us the sealing of the new covenant in Christ, the covenant that is not just for a specific people, but for all people to the ends of the earth in all languages. And so that's why all these people are gathered in the courtyard. And honestly, David, this is where you and I come in.
Yeah.
Because it describes the different people that are gathered. We hear in Acts chapter 2, verse 9, we are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, both Jews and converts to Judaism. And here's you and me, David, Cretans and Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not just people from Crete, but I think like Cretans, you know, like schlubs.
Right.
You know, people like you and me, everyday folks.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So they're all gathered and they hear the gospel preached in their own languages. And this is a sign that Christ comes to, for all people to the ends of the earth and sends his church, his apostles, and us as his disciples to preach that gospel and to bring Christ to the ends of the earth. That's what really Pentecost represents.
Absolutely. Ken Hellenius again. He is the host of Living Stones, heard right here on Mater Dei Radio, 7:30 Monday evenings, anytime on your Hail Mary Media app and located at the University of Notre Dame. So before the tongues of fire come down onto the apostles, they were a little bit scared, right? They didn't want to go out. They were worried. But at this point, this is when it all changes.
They become very bold.
Yeah.
Peter preaches his first homily. Now, remember, Peter, our beloved fisherman, again, talking about a schlub, right? The guy who denied Christ three times,
mm-hmm.
is filled with the Holy Spirit and with the courage to preach and to open up the scriptures. So it tells us that in his homily, he opened up the Old Testament to explain why Christ's death and resurrection were necessary. And this homily that he preaches cuts to the heart of everybody listening, such that they're like, well, okay, so what do we have to do in response to this? What, you know, the people felt the need that hearing the gospel changed their lives and they wanted to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so what must we do? And 3,000 people were baptized that day. So this is really the birthday of the church, and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit to strengthen to preach the gospel. And really that continues today. You know, we ourselves who have been baptized and confirmed have received that same gift of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments. The sacraments of the church empower us as well to preach the gospel. And our bishops, the Conference of Catholic Bishops in 2005 wrote an instruction on lay ministry in the church called Co-workers in the Vineyard of the Lord. Mm. And what they told the lay ministers, which are most of the people that we encounter, you know, our RCIA teachers,
right,
and our directors of religious education and all the people who've got to work in a parish who assist the pastor to preach the gospel. The bishops wrote to them and they said, when lay ecclesial ministers cultivate a special devotion and complete openness to the Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost will be alive in their hearts and at work through their ministry.
Mm.
So this is our response to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, to embrace that gift that God pours into our hearts by giving us the Holy Spirit at our confirmation and by then living that out.
Mm, beautiful. So do we know historically, once the apostles set off now, they've received the Holy Spirit and they go out across the land to preach the gospel, do we know, did they ever get back together again, or once they departed, that was the last that they were together?
Well, that's a good question. We read a little bit later in the Acts of the Apostles about the Council at Jerusalem, which is the first kind of ecumenical council in the church. What we think of as the Second Vatican Council in 1960s was also, you know, was the most recent version of this same sort of gathering of the bishops, the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
After that Council of Jerusalem, they begin to get killed off.
Right.
James is the first to be martyred. It's told that he was thrown off the parapet of the temple. And of course, we think of St. Thomas made it over to India, and St. James the Greater ends up in Compostela, Spain. So, so no, they don't gather together after the Council of Jerusalem, which takes place not long after Christ's death and after Pentecost. And at the Council of Jerusalem, they discussed non-Jewish people and what they needed to do to become Christians. And it turns out the answer is to to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to avoid eating strangulated meats.
Okay.
Follow those rules, and you're going to be doing fine, you know, kind of deal. So, so after that, the apostles are sent to the ends of the earth, and they give their lives in service to Christ and the apostle and the gospel.
Beautiful. Ken Hellenius, again, South Bend, Indiana, University of Notre Dame, and host of Living Stones right here, Mater Dei Radio, Monday evenings, 7:30, anytime on your Hail Mary Media app. Ken, great to talk with you again. Wonderful insight onto Pentecost Sunday coming up here in just a day or two, and we always appreciate talking with you.
Have a blessed feast.
Thank you. You as well.